support for the squeezed middle is what the National Party wants to see in this week's budget. The National Party has said it will support the first three emissions budgets too, which set caps for New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions for the next 15 years. But it wants to see some urgent assistance for middle New Zealand. An early example of this has been its opposition to what it describes as the corporate welfare involved in using tax dollars to subsidise businesses as they look to cut carbon. Christopher Luxon, the leader of the National Party, joins us now. Good morning.
Morning, Corin. How are you today?
I'm very well. So, opposed to corporate welfare, this is the government's multi-million dollar plan to help these firms move away from coal and this sort of thing when they're heating their industrial plants. But don't you have a policy of removing fringe benefit tax to encourage EVs?
Well, listen, I mean, what we're really saying around the emissions reduction plan is we support the targets, we support the budgets, we're aligned with the ends, right? But we disagree with the government on the means. Some of the things we think are good in the emissions reduction plan, some of the
You came out swinging pretty hard on the corporate welfare issue yesterday. And I just want you to clarify for me, at the last election, did you not have a policy to remove fringe benefit tax for firms to encourage them to buy EVs for their fleet? I'm struggling to see how that's any different.
Well, what this is very different, Corin. What this is about is a government that's taking the funds from the ETS and actually giving them to large corporates who actually it's in their own interest to make sure that they are decarbonising for the future of their own businesses. They are profitable businesses, largely profitable. In some cases, you know, if you've got a coal-fired boiler at DB, which is owned by Heineken, really do you need $2 to $3 million from the New Zealand government and taxpayer to be able to unwind that decision? That's something that legitimately a corporate can take that decision on their own.
So you distinguish that from offering tax cuts?
Well, what I'd say to you is, you know, in terms of corporate welfare, as I was talking through yesterday, is essentially you have New Zealanders going to the pump. They have about 17 cents a litre goes to the ETS, and that money is recycled and given out to corporates to do their emissions reduction, which they should be doing on their own. Likewise, I thought another big takeaway from the report in terms of things we didn't support was there was an awful lot of we're going to develop, investigate, identify, facilitate, a lot of bureaucracy and sort of whiteboard session language. You know, when you're going to spend $18 million to develop an energy strategy, when the ideas include NCA changes, the Polytech mergers and income insurance, they aren't things that are actually rapidly reducing our emissions profile. Now, there's other things we supported in that emissions reduction plan. Ag research, certainly expanding the carbon sink for the ETS schemes, very good stuff.
Okay, but the fundamental principle you're saying here is that you want the emissions trading scheme to do the work to provide the incentive. The price of carbon will go to such a level that those firms will have to then invest in the technology to move away from coal boilers, etc. But
that's the genius of the emissions trading.
Yes, but the issue there is, and we talked to Kirk Hope about this morning, he's saying that will be slower. It will be slower than the incentives that have been offered by the government. And if that price goes so high to encourage DB to whatever to change their boiler, it also goes high for the motorists who are paying more to drive. So there's an equity issue.
No, there's a really simple thing here. You shouldn't have everyday New Zealanders subsidising corporates that actually in their own interests in order to set their businesses up for the future, to manage it for the stakeholders that are part of their community and their businesses. You know, those are things that you should be doing. Good companies will do that and should be doing that now. But the message the government sent those companies was, hey, hang on, just wait on a bit, because if you're lucky enough, we'll get a taxpayer subsidy in order to actually do the emissions reduction for you or with you.
And but how would you compensate?
Corporates should get on with it. They just get on with it. You know, they need to do that.
No, look, everyone wants the corporates to get on with it and move faster, but I'm worried is how would you compensate? I mean, ACT has been quite explicit. They support a full ETS model, and they would just give the dividend, the money that's in that fund, back to consumers. Would you do something similar? Because if that price of carbon goes high, it will hit low-income New Zealanders.
Well, it's going to incent people to make choices to go for to actually decarbonise and actually remove carbon from their businesses, right? That's exactly what it's designed to do. But what I'd say is the point of the emissions reduction plan is that these are actions to augment, to accelerate our removal of carbon out of New Zealand. You want to make sure that they are cost-effective. You want to make sure that you're removing the most maximum amount of carbon you can, getting the biggest bang for the dollars that you're investing. No different from how we think about government spending. Now, the problem is a government like we've got today wastes an awful lot of money, doesn't get outcomes, doesn't get things done. So, you know, as we've seen with a cash for clunkers sort of program that's been released, what we would do is we'd use that emissions reduction plan and say, right, what can government legitimately do that would actually accelerate or spark investment from others to actually build out a network. You could think about an EV charging network. You could think about, you know, more agricultural investment in research and development. That's mission critical if we're going to lead the world through agriculture.
But those are things that are all being looked at already. That's what's in the plan.
It's been looked at. Some of it is and some of it isn't. And then planning reform. You know, we've got renewables, energy sources that are trying to get renewables up in New Zealand. They can't get consenting done. So we need to break through those things. Mm. Those are practical.
I just want to come back to the principle because this is really important. It's a big debate at the moment. It's an interesting debate. And there's lots of arguments on both sides about the use of the emissions trading scheme to get those incentives. Are you saying National would have a greater emphasis on that ETS, and would there be any corresponding support for low-income New Zealanders who might be affected by that?
Well, look, I think there is going to need to be some transition support for New Zealanders. And so what I'm saying to you is we agree on the targets, we agree on the budgets, right? We agree on the end. We think the ETS is really critical, and we would like to see the ETS have some other carbon removal options, blue carbon, native, carbon mineralisation, carbon, capture, those kinds of things added into the ETS would be really good. And then we would like to say in the emissions reduction plan, the government should really genuinely think about not a grab bag of existing activities and NCA changes and all that other stuff that they're throwing in there. $18 million, Corin, to develop an energy strategy, for goodness sake. That should just be happening in core business or core functions of the departments. But we would look at the things that government can uniquely do that kickstart it. If you think about the ultra-fast broadband network, right, the government kickstarted that and worked with the sector and industry to execute that, I think, superbly well relative to what we've seen, say, in Australia. Well, there's a good example. You get a catalyst.
So it seems to me you're saying sometimes corporate welfare is okay and sometimes it's not.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying uniquely government versus business versus community, the three big actors in our society, have different roles to play in decarbonising New Zealand. And one of the things the government can do is actually set up the catalyst or the investment.
Right, you're making the case to say that there is a case for corporate welfare sometimes. It's just that you don't agree with this particular version of it by Labour. But you're saying that in some cases it is justified.
Look.
So it's just a political decision, right?
No. But you're spending taxpayers' money to give Heineken, a massive global company, some money to write off a coal boiler. That to me just doesn't feel right. That's not what it's about. A person, a Kiwi at the pump, paying 17 cents a litre into the ETS scheme only for it to go back to large corporates that should be, frankly, getting on with the job now, not hanging around, waiting, thinking that maybe the government will step up and actually give them some subsidy.
Put in a tougher ban then on the coal-fired plant, so you say to DB, well, we'll ban it.
Well, I'm using it as an illustration of the sort of things that have been going on, right? I just think that there's just that's not something that's sustainable.
But why not? I mean, if you're going to say to them, you're saying to them today, get on and do it, you don't need any help from us, why not say, if you don't, it'll be banned?
Well, the point is that we actually have an ETS scheme that functions that incents those companies to move out of their pollution and their carbon, and that's exactly what we should be doing.
Have you heard back from business about this issue? I mean, speaking to Kirk Hope this morning from Business New Zealand, he didn't think that all businesses would have the technology available to suddenly make the switch. It's not quite that simple.
Well, the things, as I said, that you'd come back through and say, what is actually needed? You know, the biggest thing that we could do is make big investments in research and development for agriculture, right? We support that component of it here. We support the way they've gone about agriculture because essentially there is no carbon emission or technology roadmap that actually gets us through agricultural emissions. We should back ourselves as New Zealanders to lead the world in that, and I think we need to change our mindset around farming and agriculture in general to do that.
Do you support the new plan on agriculture that's being worked on at the moment? There is a bit of division in the farming sector, Groundswell and others. I mean, I'm wondering if Groundswell's spoken to you, they don't want to support this plan that would see farmers pay some of the cost of their emissions.
Look, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of farmers. I was in Fielding last week. I was in Ashburton the week before. Farmers understand that they need to, you know, get on a pathway to tackling, you know, biogenic methane. We're very supportive of the industry coming up with a proposal that'll come forward at the end of the month. And so, I can tell you, you know, farmers understand that consumers are changing, consumer behaviour is changing.
Not the farmer who came on Morning Report yesterday, I can assure you. I mean, there are clearly some farmers who don't.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, but, you know, the industry as a whole is working together and working their way through what is a solution that is balancing the fact that we don't want leakage, You know, we already have the most carbon-efficient farmers in the world, the best in the world. We don't want production going to a less carbon-efficient country and therefore causing a worsening of global greenhouse gas emissions. But equally, understanding that it's coming over the next 30 years, and so they should shape it, and they want to be able to do that. And I have to tell you, farmers get it. I mean, they know the way they practice their farming practices today are different from 15 years ago, and they'll be different in 15 years' time. But unlike transport, there is no pathway or technology roadmap to solve for. And New Zealand, rather than beating up on farmers and calling them villains and all that stuff, actually has to change its mindset and say, they are the best in the world. Let's back ourselves. Let's get some confidence going and some ambition and aspiration and go invent the solutions for the world on agricultural emissions.
Christopher Luxon, thank you very much for your time. National Party leader.